Comme dans l'enfant. Key of D. Number 11. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. It's great to have you with us today. Just loving the spring weather, and I'm sure you are as well. Just a reminder, we have restarted our classes, at least most of them, that happened between our two services. The children, the youth, they're up and running. Three of our adult classes are running as well. Easter Sunday, that's two Sundays from now, we won't be having the classes between the two services, but we are going to have a missionary update. Nick and Jennifer Bugos will be with us and sharing downstairs in the Family Life Center the ministry that they've been involved in. I'm also interested in those who have an interest in another membership or newcomers class. It's a four-week class that usually runs during that class time. We don't have a sign-up sheet, so you can just let me know or call the office and indicate your interest in that group. Our care team does a lot of things. They're very proactive. One of the things we do is we provide meals for people, like after an illness, a surgery, childbirth, those kind of things. And we've got a list right now of people who are willing to provide meals. We'd like to have more people on that list. So if you're a person to say, hey, I could cook a meal for someone in need like that, there's on the table in the atrium as you're making your way out today, just add your name to that list and help the rest who are doing that. Or you can see Karen Urich here as well to let her know of your interest. Our local mission group we support is called Youth Hope. You're familiar with them, I think. They're having a virtual fundraiser on April 1st, no fooling, 7 p.m., their fundraiser. And on the countertop in the foyer, you can pick up the information of how to participate in that. And also our senior social group, they are going to be restarting. They were meeting before in the first Friday of each month from 10 to noontime. They play games and enjoy fellowship and then have a light luncheon. So they're going to start up on Friday, April 2nd. So just take note of that and invite some friends. And our call to worship today is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's power, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for your command. I thank you for your holy presence, certainly present in heaven, but present here too. And we welcome your presence. We pray that you would encourage us, you would challenge us, you would comfort us, you would push us, whatever is needed for us to be healthy spiritually. We dedicate ourselves to you, for you to be pleased by our worship. Through the name of your Son, amen.
Praise the Lord as he's worthy. Join us and sing, standing, please. Thou art worthy.
To receive Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is a great song to sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. If you love to sing a song, this one's got it all. Great music, fantastic words. If you're a bass singer, this is the best song in the world. Right, Kevin? It is. Let's join and sing. Holy, holy, holy.
What a fantastic hymn of praise that is. Holy, holy, holy. Our spotlight today is on Kamate and Kavira Basilin. They've had connections with our church from times past when he went to school. They serve now in East Tennessee State University, reaching out to international students, being from Africa. They can identify with people from different cultures, and Certainly, they have been affected in their ministry by the COVID shutdown, so a lot of what they're doing is Zoom-type Bible studies with people, but that can be effective too. So they want us to pray for the discipleship process of helping those who are Christians to become more effective in sharing their faith, to grow in their walk with the Lord, and then also those connections they're able to make with people who aren't Christians from different countries. Be able to befriend them, reach out to them, minister to their practical needs, and help them to be aware of the gospel and respond to Christ as well. At times, they have opportunity to minister in Africa, where they're from, and we certainly want to see them be effective in that way, and just to see them fully supported and having a tremendous ministry to internationals in Tennessee. So let's be praying for them, and let's go to this throne of grace, to the holy, holy, holy God, that we can speak to, because we're made holy in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can be gathered together in your name today, worshiping you and encouraging one another. We do thank you for Kamate and Kavira, and we pray you'll give them good preparation with these Bible studies they're doing virtually, And we pray that they can equip the Christians from different countries to be able to share their faith, to grow in their daily walk with you. We pray also for the non-Christians they have connections with, that they can just very practically care for them, and because of that, they'll see Christ in Kamati and Kavira and want that as well. Father, I pray that you would use us. We are just regular people that you have redeemed, and you're at work in our lives. Continue to help us to grow strong as the body of Christ here and expressing ourselves and outreach to people all around us and around the world. We pray, Father, that you would be working in our children's ministries, our youth ministries. We pray, Father, for your merciful touch with Meyer, Barb's grandson. Lord, we ask also that you would make us aware that you are with us at all times, and we could be strong and courageous, not afraid or trembling, knowing that you are with us and as we go out in your name. Now, Lord, be with my mouth and help us to gaze into the beauty of heavenly reality and be transformed by what we see. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Well, for what should we praise the Lord? What should be the content of our praise? I think there are times when we just feel blank. I'm not really sure what I should thank God or praise God for. Or we run out of ideas and we're not sure what to do. And so we think, okay, what should be we praising the Lord for? What kind of things in those times when I'm uncertain what to thank God and praise God for? What could just fill me to overflowing in that praise? I think Revelation chapter 4, the second half that we're looking at today, can really help you in terms of content and giving you content to overflow in terms of giving thanks and worshiping the Lord in a very significant transformational way as you praise and thank the Lord and join with other creatures who are praising the Lord in this way. Last week, we started the beginning of chapter 4, and we're suggesting that transitioning from chapter 2 and 3 into chapter 4 is moving us beyond present reality in John's time to present and future reality in heaven in John's time. So the beginning chapters in John's time, present reality on earth. Now we're moving into present and future reality in heaven. And I tried to cover the first half of this chapter by raising some questions, bringing answers. Let's do it again in the second half of the chapter as well. Raise a question and find the answer. The question we asked, first of all, what else is it like near the throne of God? We saw some amazing description of what it's like in the presence of God in the throne room in those first five verses. What else is it like? Well, in verse 6, we've got this description where it says, "And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal." Notice the likes that occur here because John can't give an exact identification, but you see a lot of like. This is very similar to what Ezekiel encountered in seeing the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel 1, verse 22. And he says, "Now over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads." So there's this sea of glass like crystal. And you use your imagination, and again, you're caught up with there's great glory here in the presence of God. There's splendor and just spectacular beauty in the presence of God. In verse 3, we saw those different colors shining forth from the throne, from the presence of God. Now this sea of glass like crystal, more beauty, more glory, more splendor, which is beyond imagination in the presence of God. The next question, we get the answer in verses 6 and 7. Who else is present? We noticed last week there were the 24 elders that were present, sitting on thrones in a concentric circle around the throne that's in the center. And now we discover four living creatures who are also present as well. I imagine if I saw one of these four living creatures, I would have been terrified. And I imagine you would be too if you were to see one of these living creatures you know, like tomorrow, you would be terrified. Look at this description here. It says here, in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second creature like a calf. The third creature had the face like a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And so these four creatures, the 24 elders, they are in a concentric circle around the throne. This seems to be another concentric circle, which is closer to the throne in which the Lord sits. And so they're described here very much like we see in Isaiah chapter 6. There they're called seraphim, but they seem to be different creatures. The descriptions are similar, but there's differences at the same time. The seraphim in chapter 6 of Isaiah have six wings. What's interesting, four of the six wings of the seraphim are covering their bodies. It's like these holy burning ones, these creatures. They themselves are holy, but so overcome by the holiness of God, they've got to use four of their six wings to cover their bodies. The glory of God is that overwhelming even to them. And they're crying out a song similar to the one that we're going to see here. They are over the throne. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, there's angelic beings similar. They're called cherubim. Now, the cherubim in that description just have four wings. Two of their wings are covering their bodies as well from the holiness of God. And those creatures, the cherubim, they have four different faces described in Ezekiel chapter 1. They seem to be under the throne. And here are these four living creatures who are right there around the throne. So similar, amazing creatures who are described here. Notice the description here, full of eyes. And Ezekiel has this similar description to the cherubim as well. But, of course, being full of eyes, they're vigilant. They're looking around on guard and looking around, and they're not missing anything. Their eyes seeing absolutely everything. And you look at these creatures, the first one is like a lion. Of course, we think in terms of the king of the beasts. The second's like a calf. We think of the king of the domestic animals. The third, like a man. We think of the king of all of creation. And then the fourth, like an eagle, the king over all that flies in the air. But they're seeing everything. And they've got these six wings. Again, the imagery of six wings, you think, boy, they can move fast if they want to. They can be moving everywhere very fast if they want to from the presence of God. And then it's pointed out again, they've got, they're full of eyes, the four living creatures, verse 8, each one of them having six wings are full of eyes around and within. So on guard, seeing everything, just there they are, they themselves overwhelmed in the holy presence of God, being holy creatures themselves surrounding God. God is certainly diverse in his creativity, isn't he? Having these various angelic beings, and I think these four living creatures are a special order of creation, right there in a concentric circle around the throne of God, but they too, basking in the glory of God, overwhelmed by the glory of God in his presence. Let's see what they're praising the Lord for, and I think this can help us in terms of content as well. For what do these creatures praise the Lord? And we see his uniqueness and also his holiness. Now, these four creatures are pretty unique, aren't they? I mean, again, if we were to encounter them, we would be overwhelmed just by seeing these creatures. But they themselves are caught up with the unique one and the holiness of the unique one. So notice in verse 8, day and night, they don't cease to say, holy, holy, holy. They're caught up, and again, the tri-holy could be, of course, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but certainly pointing to the perfect holiness of God. So these holy creatures, they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the one who is on the throne. And they say, he's the Lord. Now, in that day, Caesar's Lord. These creatures have it right. No, the one on the throne, he is Lord. He is God. He's the only God. And he is the Almighty, which we encountered in chapter 1 Verse 8, the one who is all-powerful and supremely in control over everything else, including everything who is happening on earth. So here's these intimidating, mighty creatures. Who are they saying is almighty? The one on the throne. What they are experiencing is from him, and they're acknowledging his total uniqueness, and he is almighty. And we've seen this emphasized a number of times up to this point in Revelation. Who was, who is to come. It's always been true, this timeless reality. God was, he is to come, and his rule will come as well, and nobody can counter that. No matter what has happened in the realm of evil, no matter what is happening right now in the realm of evil, no matter what will happen in the future in the realm of evil, he, the one in the throne in the center, is, was, and is to come. If these unique four creatures are caught up in this way to say this over and over and over again, wouldn't it make sense that we would do likewise? We would be freshly captured with the uniqueness of God, and we would be totally caught up with holy, 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 perfect and absolute and complete holiness. That is the one on that center throne. And I suggest to you, for your worship, to really spice up your worship, allow God to show you how unique he is. There's other things that are unique and marvelous and worth experiencing, but experiencing him is totally unique. He is the one who is and was and who is to come. And this is where we begin with our praise. We begin by declaring God is unique. He is all of these things. We declare these kind of names, which uniquely he owns these titles in this unique kind of reality. And this is always appropriate to worship and praise God for who he is and what he is like. And of course, his perfect holiness can be overwhelming. And here's the reality. As we see his holiness, you know what that makes us aware of? Our sinfulness. When you see the perfect holiness of God, it makes you and me aware of our sinfulness. But with it comes this longing desire to want to become more holy like he is. And so it's a wonderful thing to be caught up with the holiness of God, but then be overwhelmed by our own sinfulness, but then realize, Lord, do something about that. Make me more like you. I have this desire to become more holy. So begin your praise there in terms of his uniqueness. Talk about the qualities of what he is like and uniquely like. Use the different names of God. And then, of course, the qualities of his holiness, his perfect holiness, it will totally transform you into a desire to want to be holy, more like he is holy. The next question to be answered is answered in verses 9 to 11. And now the 24 elders who we noted last week are present there in their own concentric circle. For what do they praise the Lord? And that comes out in verses 9 to 11. And it's because of what God has done, because he has acted as creator. That's why they are praising the Lord. Notice verse 9, when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne. So this indicates that the day and night of the four living creatures wasn't constantly, but it's consistently. They keep on doing this and they keep on doing it. And whenever they do it, the 24 elders who are on these 24 thrones in their own concentric circle around the center throne of the Lord, they join in. So notice how things are building here. There's a building in Revelation 4 and 5. At first, you notice the throne. Then you see these four living creatures and their worship of God, his uniqueness and his holiness. And when this happens, now the 24 elders, they join in with their own praise as well. So it's building in terms of who's involved in the worship and what is being attributed to God and what he's being praised for, all helping us to enter into this kind of praise. Well, whenever the four living creatures do this, Then the 24 elders, they will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne. Of course, falling prostrate before someone, taking your golden crowns and putting them before them, that's their way of saying, you're worthy. The one who is on the throne in the center, he is the one that is worthy, not us, not our accomplishments. The one in the center, he is the one that is worthy. That's why we fall down before him. That's why we take the golden crowns on our heads and we lay them before him, because he is worthy. Now, interesting, in that day and time, as Grant Osborne points out in his commentary, that lesser kings would come before the emperor, and guess what they would do? Take the crowns off, put them before the emperor Caesar, acknowledging he is their lord over them. So in the heavenly realm, this is the reality that really matters. Those who worship him, we fall prostrate before him. We take the golden crowns, put it before him. You are worthy of these crowns. You are worthy. Did you ever have an experience of holiness and worship of God that you really wanted to prostrate yourself before God? Why not do it sometime? Be it in your own quiet time before the Lord, or even in worship, to just, wow, I'm so overcome by not only who you are, but what you've done in creating us and creating everything. I just want to prostrate myself before you and acknowledge whatever I've done. You're worthy of that, not me. And so then their worship comes forth, where they, after casting their crowns, they say, worthy are you, our Lord and our God. Now, Mounts, in his commentary, points out that worthy are you was also something people would do when the emperor made his entrance in some kind of a triumphal procession. The crowd would declare, worthy are you. And then Lord and God, those were confessions that Domitian, the emperor, when John writes Revelation, he was insisting on that kind of address to himself. And heaven is setting the record straight. The only one who is worthy is the one on the throne in the center of all that glory. The one who is Lord and God, such a person is not here on earth. Such a person is heaven, in heaven, and he is the Lord and God, and he's the one that's worthy to receive. In the original language, the verb receive can also mean take, because it's not like God receives something he doesn't have. They're acknowledging, worthy are you to receive or take glory and honor and power. In this praise, they're acknowledging, you possess all these things, God. And you're worthy of everything in creation, giving you credit for that, for you to receive glory and honor and power. And now the emphasis, the content of their worship, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Wow, what a wonderful emphasis here. God created all things. Things did not create themselves. God is behind all of creation. He created all things. And why are all things created? Because he willed it. Because he desired it. Why are you here? Because he desired it. He willed it. Why has anything been created, be it angelic beings or anything else in creation? Because God willed it. Because God desired it. Nothing in creation is in a position where they can question the Creator, but they do. I have made some different things through the years, which I've been kind of glad I've been able to build. As my kids were growing up, I built the girls and the boys different bunk beds. And each one was a little bit different. The guys was specially designed for them, with some secrets to the bunk beds that I built into the bunk beds. The girls, their design was a little bit different, but still it was special just for them. I did not have those bunk beds speak back to me, why did you make me this way? Why didn't you do this instead of that? It's unthinkable that we would do something like that, and it would speak back to us. If you're into art and you've made a piece of art, the art doesn't speak back to you. You should have done this instead. No, it doesn't have the mouth to speak that way. Why did created people do that kind of things? Why would God's creation try to arrogantly speak back to God? Why did you create it this way? Instead, you ought to be very grateful that he willed it, that he desired it. And you're here because he willed and desired that you would be created. And that's a fascinating, wonderful thing that is the reality. The language is interesting here at the end. Notice how he says it three times for emphasis. You got like an A-B-A pattern. You created all things because of your will. They existed and were created. The repetition for emphasis. Some people suggest maybe the last two phrases are indicating that all things existed in the mind of God before he created them. That was there, his desire in his mind, and then he created them. I'm not sure that's true, but certainly we got an emphasis here. It might be the last two phrases are basically saying the same thing together. Because of your will, they were, that is, they were created. And it could be the last two phrases for repetition are emphasizing the fact of their coming into existence and the beginning of coming into existence. Because you desired it, Lord, because you willed it. The fact is, we were, and all things were. And the beginning of all this, you created. You're the one that spoke everything and brought it into creation and existence. In terms of content, I think it's very important. If you want to really be energized in your praise to God, starting, as we noted already, with who he is, his uniqueness, his characteristics, his attributes, including his infinite, perfect holiness. But then start to review the things that he has done. And begin with the thing he has done in creating everything and creating you as well. And so we certainly begin there with praising God and giving praise to him for creating us and creating all things. Now, sadly, right now, a lot in our society are in rebellion against God as creator. And we need to counter that as much as we can, because we got to realize he designed that we would be male or female. Parents would do well to talk to your daughter and say, hey, God desired that you would be female. That's a beautiful thing. Speak to your sons. He has made you a male. That's a wonderful thing, that he made you unique as a male, and that's a wonderful thing. That's the way he designed it and the way he desired it, and we shouldn't rebel against that. When it comes to his gift of marriage, his design is one male with one female. That's his design. That's the way he put it together. That's a beautiful thing. That's what we should tell our kids. And influence as many as we can, that this is a beautiful thing, that the Creator has designed it this way. You could be a unique female. You're a unique male. Male and female coming together in marriage. That's good. God's design. That is a beautiful and wonderful gift that God has given us. And there are people that struggle with this and the way he has created things. And I would suggest to those who do struggle with this, with temptations contrary to the way God has created them, and yet you want to do the will of God, I think there's a lot that could be said to help you. But I think it begins with thanking God for creating you as you. And begin by expressing gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, thank you for making me as me and the uniqueness of what you've done in creating me. Begin there with a grateful and thankful heart, and watch what God would do from there in terms of accepting his design, his desire for your life, and watch what he can do even against those temptations that people are struggling with contrary. As we look at Revelation chapter 4, I think that the powerful aspect of this chapter is before the turmoil is going to be talked about, first of all, we're calmed down and settled. We're settled that there is one who sits on the throne in heavenly glory. He never moves from that position. He sits on the throne, and he is sovereignly in control of everything. That calms our hearts, that settles us down when evil is multiplying here on earth, be it personally or on a massive scale with what's happening. I think also as we are captivated that he is worthy of all praise because he is the Holy One and because he is the Creator. You see, it just fills our hearts with overwhelming experience. Lord, you're holy, you're unique, and you've got so many other attributes and qualities about yourself. And Lord, you also created me. And I'm here by your specific design and plan. I don't want to rebel against that. I want to fulfill what your design and plan is for me. And that's what I want other people around about me to accept who they are and what you've made them to be. And then experience the wonders of the unique creation you have in mind with designing them. And then just worshiping and thanking God for what he has done and what he has planned with people. I think if we were preoccupied with the uniqueness of God, his holy, holy, holiness, and we were also completely preoccupied with his power and design as the Creator, we would not be intimidated by evil that's going on all around about us. We would be so engaged in the uniqueness of God, nothing else would engage us and intimidate us. So you want content to worship? Join with the four living creatures. Join with the 24 elders as they are just totally overcome, unique creatures that they are, and they're totally overcome by the total uniqueness by God who is on that center throne in glory, spectacular beauty. They're holy creatures, but their holiness doesn't match the perfections of God. And they are so grateful that you created all things. And the fact is we're here because you wanted it that way. And then you spoke us into existence. And we praise and glorify you, Lord, as Creator and as the designer. If you really take to heart this chapter, your worship is going to really be energized and really be exciting. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this chapter that just calms our hearts when we are overwhelmed with chaos all around us. This has that calming effect that, oh yeah, you're still on the throne in glory, spectacular beauty. Lord, you are worthy of worship because you are the unique one. You are holy, 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 and you have created all things. And we're here not by accident, but by your design and plan. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that reality. Thank you that you're continuing to recreate people and recreate things, and one day you will recreate things totally brand new. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Well, now it's our opportunity to praise our good God. Let's sing together, standing. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and they sang, blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the Lamb forever and ever. Let there be glory and honor and praise. Sing with us.
Let there be glory and honor and praise. Be glory and honor and praises, glory and honor to Jesus, glory and honor, glory and honor to him.
it again. Do it again. That.
Glory and honor and praise. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor and glory and honor to Him.
We had to do that because remember those four living creatures and those 24 elders, they're just continually praising and adoring God for those wonderful realities, and we want to join in that ceaseless praise as well. If you're here today and it's dawned on you today that you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know Him personally, you've never come to His Son by faith, and I welcome you to come to Him. He overcame sin and death, and you can too through faith in Him. So I invite you to the Savior at the right hand of God is where He is, but He's here too as well. And if you're here today and you're thinking, well, my worship has been a bit drab, my quiet time's been pretty dry, or I don't have a quiet time at all, well, here's what you can focus on. You can join with these living creatures and these 24 elders, and you can say, well, praise you, God. You're totally unique. And you can go down all the different names of God, the one who is, was, who is to come, the Lord, the Almighty, Heavenly Father, and you can be caught up with His holy, holy, holiness, all the other attributes of God, so unique about Him in a perfect sense of the word, and then overwhelmed by your own sinfulness, but you've done something about that, and you want to make me like yourself, and you just get enthralled in worship with who He is and what He's like, His uniqueness. And then you begin to add the kind of things He's done. Lord, You created me. You created us. You created everything. And we praise You for that. And we thank You because of Your will, because You willed it, because You desired it. That's why we're here. So we want to cooperate with You, not rebel against You. And we want You to carry out Your full design of what You have for us and for this church as well. You getting a little excited about the opportunity to worship God, the unique one who sits on that throne? Lord, thank You for this time together. Thank You that You are holy, 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 totally separate from all that's created, totally separate from all that is sinful, and yet wanting to make us holy through Your Son's sacrifice on the cross. Help us, Lord, to worship You in spirit and in truth. We commit to You now the classes that are going to follow. Pray those would be great times of fellowship and study and hearing from You. But, Lord, help us to enter into the worship that's already going on in heaven and worship You as well. In the name of Your Son, amen.